Jack opens.
Yeah, well, it is, but she would apparently always take her mother out on Halloween, and I'm, no, seriously, I, but I won't touch that.
Take her mother out for Halloween.
And you know, so she shows up drunk on Halloween night at our front door, and, you know, rings, and I thought, oh, you're a little old for trick-or-treating, aren't you? And, but she, you know, I invited her in, and, oh, well, long story.
Yes, yeah.
Morning, Brian.
Good. Okay.
How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Good. Fine.
Good morning.
Is this anything I already have? Oh, I love this.
You have it.
So
I already
get it. Is it new postcard?
It's
great.
A new one, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning.
And thank, because Judy was the one who had to.
Judy did all the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Reed did all of it yesterday. Carol did it the first day. Thank God they weren't staying.
Up here, so at least.
Hey, Gardner, how are you?
I couldn't believe it when I came in and showed us
the picture.
I said, oh,
yeah.
This. What about this?
What did you think that you would bring it to the meeting?
Yeah. The only thing we saw in the famous story is this. Well, and as soon as I'm all pulled up here, we'll get things going. Morning, Russ.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Good to see you.
Morning, Russ. How are you?
You're the only game in town today.
That I know, but I couldn't place it, and I couldn't move it in.
No thanks. No telling where those have been.
Very vividly, I don't want to make sure what anybody told you. We've got a number of applicants, but I haven't.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Yep.
They're busy.
Yeah, that's good.
But I don't agree. I don't agree.
Oh, I don't either, but we actually went to that like 3 or 4 years ago.
I'm still going to ring it up. I want it in the record.
Sure, absolutely.
But not just for that. For that.
Before we get started on the first item, I don't know, maybe just let people know that we're
the church.
Continuing.
Absolutely,
so
that's what I plan to do. No, thank you. So
they can check around and do public comments.
Yeah, before. Just in case there was anybody here on that. Yep. Thank you, Al. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am hereby bringing this October 4th, 2013 meeting of the Mariposa County Planning Commission to order. I would like to begin by asking Commissioner Harris to lead us in the flag salute.
I knew that today.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and
to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
We now move right along to our minutes approval, and the thing that I will say is that things may be a little rusty because this body has not met officially in the capacity of review of public items for about 2 months. And I will now ask if there are any corrections, notes, comments to be made to the minutes of our last meeting. I have a couple. Is my mic is on, right? You can hear me? I'm not hearing it back here. Am I coming through loud and clear? Good.
When you say last meeting, what day?
That would have been July
12th.
July 12th.
Okay.
And on our page 6 of the staff report, near the actual third paragraph and fourth paragraph, we have two words that just simply could be swapped. Kurtzman said that they have checked with all the neighbors and was quiet surprised. And the next paragraph, Harris clarified that the use of generators will be up until the 10 p.m. quiet time. So we could just swap those two words and then everything will be correct. Other than that, that's all I got. And if there are no further corrections, I would like to entertain a motion on the minutes.
Make a motion, we accept the minutes as corrected.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Harris and a second by Commissioner Harder. If there's no further discussion, all those willing to approve the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion to approve passes 4-0. All present. We are now going to move along. I would like to point out first that on our public hearings, item B, the amended conditions number 2013-149, Cathy's Valley Baptist Church, if anybody is here for that issue, for that item today, that item has been continued. It was requested of the agent, of the applicant, that we continue it to our next hearing as the applicant was not able to be with us this morning, and so it is going to be continued to October 18th at 9 a.m. But we don't have to take any further action on that, correct, other than pointing it out? Is that true? Hold on. I'm sorry. Just speak up.
All right. When we arrive at the item, we'll make the plan to make the official motion. And if there's anybody that wants to comment on it, we can take public comment.
Great. I think that we should take it out of order, however, just so if there is anybody here who would like to discuss that. And so I will, at this point, open that issue, even though we will not be planning on taking any sort of action on it today, if there is anyone here who would like to make comment on that issue. Feel free to come forward to the mic. Let me explain also as well our normal procedures. There will be agendas and supporting material on the back table. And before you comment, if there is any other member of the public present who would like to comment to us on any item that is not on today's agenda, this would be the time, seeing that there was no one present, but that you would like to speak on item B, please feel free to do so. And you don't have to sign in, but simply for the record, it would be nice if we had your name. Yeah, if you would like to sign in, that'd be great. And feel free to state your name as well for the audio record.
Church, and the thing is, it says here that the use of the
company's space of a frequent nature not intended for purpose to be used for permanent installation of RVs or camping. And then it goes on and it states 3 weeks for some, 2 weeks for another. But this thing can go on, you know, they can leave, others can come out, and it's like a rotating thing all the time, you know, where they're coming and going. And I, if you have property, which I do, just curious for them, to start with, they came over years ago and they asked me about the church in, and I said, fine, I have no problem. And then they put an old home, trailer, right up on the property line. I went over and asked the pastor if he had moved it, and he said, no. And so I said, okay. He said, I'll plant trees along there, so you won't be able to see it. That never happened. And I got a feeling the same thing on this thing. Not the way it's written up. These people will be coming and going continuously. It'll be like an RV park. And when we first moved up there, we had a signed statement, you know, that there would be no RV parks or anything like that in there. And if you had a home there, I don't think you'd want these things to come out and work all day long.
No, and I appreciate that, Mr. English. What I would say is, please state your concerns in writing and send your comments into the planning department as soon as possible, and they will be included as a matter of record when this item does come before us on October 18th. And at that time, feel free to come back as well. You know, and I'm sorry to tell you that. I'm sorry that you didn't know that it was going to be continued today. Yes, it'll be October 18th. That is our presumed plan, which we will act upon a little later today, that it will be officially continued to October 18th at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And that will be publicly noticed again. Sure,
yeah,
sure. But I would encourage you to address these concerns in writing to the planning staff, because then that will be included in the package that will come to us officially. So, but I do appreciate your time in coming out today, and I do apologize as well for the
no
fact
problem.
That we had to take it off the agenda.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. English. I will hereby close the public comment on that item, and I see that we have Commissioner Carrier, Supervisor Carrier here.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if the audio is working. Seems to be
good. Yeah, I did feel all of a sudden that I was getting out there a little bit better than I had been.
Correct.
I think we're.
9. Thank you.
Well. Supervisor,
thank you.
Chair, are you going to assume your chair?
Let's do all that in the group.
Well, I was going to ask now, did we get all of this proceeding into the record officially? So.
Just what I've got.
Just what you've got. Okay. Now, which then gives me a procedural question as to whether we need to repeat any of this to get it officially on the audio record. You do have it in the official minutes that you're
mm-hmm.
taking.
That's
but,
it.
You know, boy, I don't know what to say about that. Brian, do you have any thoughts?
You know, maybe just surmise.
Yeah.
What
I think it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Minutes will be fine, so we don't have to go through the audio. Great. Thank you for that. Which now, see, I told you things were going to be a little rusty this morning. We have gotten through the public address portion. We are now officially into the public hearings. The first item A, is a Williamson Act contract, LCA contract number 2013-115, and LCA contract modification number 2013-116. And Sarah is not with us today, but Al is taking this, correct? Eileen, thank you so much. And before we get into it, I did notice one little thing that I wanted to point out in the staff report. I did mention it to Sarah, and that is that when we got to the official staff report, let me find it here, I wanted to point out the fact that on page 10 of our packet, from Eileen Collins, it says planning technician. And I know that you have a promotion, and it's official, And I just wanted to point out that we need to make sure that you take credit for your position.
Less doesn't miss a thing.
Thank you for
that correction. Well, certainly.
I obviously missed that one.
And I now toss it to you.
Eileen,
I'm not sure your mic's on.
Hello?
That's better. Thank you.
All right. This is Land Conservation Act contract number 2013-115 and Land Conservation Act modification contract 2013-116. Applicants are Jeff Janice and Penny Janice. The applicants purchased 14 parcels. These on January 4th of this year, totaling 1,903 acres. Six parcels were already under contract, 97-2. They're requesting the remaining 8 uncontracted parcels also be placed under contract. The project site is located in Lake Swain area off of Bernitas Road. The new contract proposes to place 7 of the uncontracted parcels under 4 separate contracts. The project site is an agriculture exclusive zone. The modification contract 2013-116 proposes to modify the existing contract, which currently covers 60 parcels, resulting in an additional 5 separate contracts. One new parcel currently not under contract will be combined with the parcel under contract number 97-2. And just to clarify, the passing of contract. All those that are in green are new. This is the odd new one that we combined with a parcel that is currently under contract in order to make it satisfy the minimum. We have these three being combined, you can tell by the arrows. What we're trying to do is satisfy the 160 acre minimum size. Second one is a standalone. It does satisfy all by itself. These two will be combined in order to satisfy 160. These two will be combined, and these two will be combined. These are the standalone. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 as a standalone. They are individually 160 acres plus. 160 is the minimum size. 6 parcels meet the minimum size. 5 parcels will be under contracts. And I guess that means 6 parcels will be above the undersized parcel. 9 parcels will be combined into 4 separate contracts, 160 acres or more. They will be required to manage together. The adjacent parcels will like the contract cannot be sold off separately. That will be part of the contract. The property has been used for grazing since September 1st, 2006 through the present. And this is how the modification of those contracts look, showing that we do have as satisfied 160 acre plus. The Agricultural Advisory Committee recommends the Planning Commission adopt a resolution recommending that the Board of Supervisors adopt the notice of extension and adopt the resolution approving LCA contract number 2013-115 and LCA modification 2013-116 with the recommended modifications.
Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, do you have any questions for Eileen?
I do have a few. The conditions listed that came from the ag, it came from the ag committee. What happens if the contract goes into violation?
Well,
for that matter, any of the contracts in violation.
There's a process spelled out in the policy as to what we do for violations. Typically, we notify them that they're potentially violating the contract. Then they have a year to comply with the regulations. If they don't, then we bring it to the Planning Commission and to the Board of Supervisors for a final non-renewal, which would essentially begin the process of ending that contract. On top of that, there's other provisions for potential financial
recoupment, eventually?
Eventually, for if there's pretty big violations.
Recoupment of the property tax?
There's specific percentages essentially fines that can be potentially charged. Of course, that would kind of require a court case pursuant in court to recuperate some of those fees. But if you're a breach of contract, it can be up to 25% of the assessed value of the property.
And these conditions that are listed in the package, these are coming directly from, according to notes of the Ag Committee, they're coming directly from the Ag Commission, correct? Not necessarily from your office directly.
We prepare them as part of our recommendation, as preparing the information for the Ag Writer Committee. We recommend what the potential conditions should be to meet the policies of the Little Boots and Ag Marble County. And they make their recommendation based off what we presented to them.
In reading the ag minutes, that's not how it reads. It means that one of the members of the Ag Committee suggested that that be included. I didn't see where Sarah or somebody else did even have the document that said that directly. And the reason I'm asking that is that the conditions presented here to us to pull it onto the board read like it's coming directly from a member of the Ag Commission. Just want to make sure or be clear that it's a standard condition that goes into all contracts and not just something that's coming out of the Ag Commission for this particular contract.
No, this is a standard condition when we're combining parcel of the contract. That's the language that we use. So typically we'll prepare the recommended language and present it to the Ag Advisor Committee and they'll make the recommendation based off of that.
Right. This comes directly out of the county's LCA requirements. And,
right.
You know, for example, if there is an implication that someone on the Ag Advisory Committee and then the committee itself passes any sort of a recommendation that is not congruent with Mariposa County law, then that simply cannot even get through the planning department. It would have to be noted that this was a recommendation, but it's not a legal, you know, you could not forward to us a recommendation that was not in fitting with county title general plan.
Correct, and that's specifically written in the policy that either requires formal merger of parcels that do not meet the minimum parcel size or an express written provision in the contract that requires that they be managed together for the length of the contract.
And this is all pretty fresh, relatively speaking. It was about, what, 3 or 4 years ago that we had a revision of the Williamson Act contracts. And I wish I could remember the year. I remember it was quite exciting at the time. This is, to my knowledge, not only in my research following the title, but simply because of the fact that we dealt with it actively and the tax implications that it could possibly have, because this all came out at the time of the state of California's withdrawal of the subvention funds. I will certainly attest to the fact that what has been recommended here is in fitting with Mariposa County law.
Well, that's my point. It doesn't say that. The minutes don't say that in the Ag Commission. It's a comment in the minutes from the Ag Commission to Sarah that they wish these recommendations, that these recommended conditions be put in there. This is pursuant to our county policy. Then we should sort of state it that way. It implies that this is just something that came up. For those of us that may not be as in tune to the LCA as the rest of you, and I would assume a lot of the public, I think we need to make that clear. My other question is, it notes in the condition itself that the sale of any of these parcels separately is prohibited and will be a direct violation of the contract. So In one of the contracts, actually the first one there, 0240 and 0280, I think is the one. There's a parcel in there for 79 acres that's part of the three pieces, I believe. And what's that?
They are on the screen as contract.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Right. I think that's under contract number one. Is that the one?
Right.
Yeah, contract number one. So, and then again, going back to my understanding that they just recommended, I think to me that's a key word, recommended and not required, by the way. If the contract, the property owners under the contract were deciding, would decide to sell that 79 acre or 70.79 acre parcel, they would still, it would still meet the size requirements for the LCA. However, this condition keeps them from doing that. It would violate the contract as a whole. I'm assuming that there's a way that they could go back through and ask for an amendment of the contract so they could sell that one piece and still have a contract, or are they locked in totally for the 20 years?
They will be locked in for 20 years.
And if they were to sell that, decide that they still want to go ahead and sell that, they could, legally. Is that correct? They, even though they'd be violating the contract, they could go through a violation. My question is, could they reapply for a new contract for the remaining two parcels? Obviously, they could. The question would they be approved?
I mean, if they meet the policies that we currently have, I mean, there'd probably be a recommendation for approval. However, that other 70-acre parcel would be a violation, which would limit the ability of the new buyer to essentially meet with that parcel.
I understand that. I'm just trying to understand for myself what I'm trying to understand what these conditions really do for the landowner, or how they hurt or harm the landowner that we're putting in. You know, going back to, these are recommended, doesn't say required, and if the landowner decides to do something else, you know, could they allow that to happen? I'm getting a little off track with my question, but I'm just trying to fully understand the impact of these conditions on the landowner and the contract itself. You know, going back to, I read it as a singular recommendation from a member of the Ag Commission to stick these in here. And if they, I don't see the applicants here today, or I would ask them directly, how do you feel about this condition? Now, I did ask Sarah that a question in email yesterday, and she said this was a discussion between the planner and them that they want to include this. Obviously, that makes sense on the surface, just buying the property generally. I'm just trying to understand what kind of impacts this has, where these conditions are coming from, what the options of the landowner might be down the road.
Well, the conditions, like I mentioned earlier, they're based strictly off the policy. If there are parcels, multiple parcels, some do not meet the minimum parcel size, which in this case, neither of the three parcel size individually. The policies give two options for that. Either formally merge the parcels to create one parcel, or you can include an express provision in the contract to manage those parcels together in the life of the contract, meaning they can be sold individually. And they wouldn't be able to put a single contract. And that's straight out of policies.
But two of them would. Two of them meet the minimum requirement. They could be combined and still meet.
Correct. And
they could take the 79. And the reason, and if you look at the map, now, many of us are familiar with Lake McSwain. My family camps out there. And this particular parcel is down on the corner across from the lake. It looks like a pretty nice piece of land, actually. And so there are options for this piece that's right on the county line. They're very close to the county line. So there are, you know, potentials. As you're looking at the upper left corner of number one, that's the one I'm talking about. There are potentials for the landowners to find or come into a situation where there's more opportunity to just land in a different way than for ag. So I'm just trying to give a little understanding here of the conditions and restrictions we're putting on the landowner. And if they're here, I would ask them, is this okay with you? Or my position, these are recommendations at this point, at the very least negotiable to some extent. But maybe you've answered my question. But that's where I was going with it. I'm trying to understand fully what the conditions or implications on the landowner are.
Well, basically, to make it simple, I think anything that comes out of the Ag Advisory Commission as a recommendation and then moves through the planning department when they turn the project into a viable contract, and then it comes to us, and we then give our approval and it goes to the board, then it becomes requirement and not recommendation, and they are legally bound by the contract. And I think perhaps it would have been a little clearer if what had come out of the Ag Advisory Committee had been shown to be a recommendation following county law, county title, county general plan.
That's what I mean.
That probably would help, because these recommendations were not just the Ag Advisory Committee coming up with something out of their
I understand that. But it reads that way, and these are public documents, and I just want to make sure that became clear. My other question, and I did ask this yesterday as well to Sarah, what is the tax effect, county property tax effect on this contract? It's a 75% benefit to the landowner for owning the contract. That's 1A of the question. And the other piece is maybe how many. I'm understanding that there is no limit at this point coming out of Board of Supervisors on how many LCAs contracts the county's going to have. But I also understand that we have the Ag Inclusive Zone program, and I'd like to know what is the difference between the WCA and the Ag Zone requirements. How are they different other than the tax benefit that the landowner gets for having an LCA contract versus the property being managed under the Ag Zone?
The first part of your question, we don't have the dollar amount. Unfortunately, we weren't able to obtain that amount from the assessor's office yesterday afternoon. But you're right, typically on average, it's probably around 75% reduction of what the assessed value of the property is. The second part of your question, the differences between the LCA contract and the Ag Exclusive Zone. Ag Exclusive Zone is the zone that lists what you can do, what you can't do, but it doesn't require you to do any ag if you don't want to. As long as whatever you're doing on the property meets what the permitted uses are in that zone. The LCA contract goes a little further in terms of restricting the property to commercial agricultural uses, and in return for actually doing the commercial agricultural production, they get some tax benefits to the property. It also limits the amount of stuff that they can do on the property. So there's more restrictions with the Lewis and Act than with just the Ag Exclusive Zone.
And to put some slight bit of a dollar value, not on this particular project, but as I recall, whenever it was, 3-4 years ago, that the subvention funds from the state dried up. Those funds to Mariposa County alone were roughly, what, about $180,000, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Per year?
Per
year.
And so that was for the totality of Williamson Act contracts in the county. And it was somewhere around those, I believe it was $180,000 annually.
And these are 20-year contracts?
These are 20-year rolling contracts.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is, and we then start getting into a philosophical point that may not be relevant.
And I don't mean to get... No, I don't want to go there.
I want all of your questions to be answered. I want you to feel comfortable. And I fully agree, but we did have that discussion, and at that time it was decided by members in the county that we would continue. Some counties did drop out of the Williamson Act process. And in fact, then they canceled out their Williamson Act contracts. Not this county, because it was decided that Mariposa would continue to make up the subvention funds on its own, because there was a value placed upon keeping these lands open, keeping these lands in agricultural use rather than perhaps development.
Well, the Ag Inclusive Zone would keep it open as well,
That certainly could too, but there are certain things that can be done under the Ag Exclusive Zone that cannot be done under Williamson Act. So they're saying we're going to be more restrictive, we are going to have less that we can do with our land in exchange for tax rebate.
Do we know how many acres are under LCA right now in Mariposa?
I believe the last number was under
Is that some information we can get for the next meeting or any, some sort of follow-up? Yeah, I've kind of gone through my questions here, but my general concern is we have a recommendation from the Ag Commission to recommend to the Board of Supervisors to accept and approve a new LCA contract. And I'm fine with it. And I understand the reasons why we are in favor of certain restrictions on our open spaces, particularly agricultural. But I'm also concerned that we as a body, although we have no ability to set or deny anything financially relative to taxes, that we at least understand what we're doing when we approve an LCA contract or recommend to the board an LCA, new LCA contract be approved. Things like, what is the specific tax hit to the county relative to property taxes? How many acres are currently under contract, and what does this do to the new number? And I know that the other item that the county, that the planning department is working under is reviewing all existing LCAs, defining those that are currently in compliance, those that are not in compliance, and getting those corrected. And at some point, I'd like to know what those numbers are as well. How many acres are potentially in violation, and what the planning department and how they're working on it. That was discussed to some degree in the Ag Committee minutes, but we haven't had that discussion here, other than it was a project that has been taken on. Of course, we haven't met for 2 months, so that's probably gone quite a bit. So, although I'm in favor of recommending this forward to the board, I am very concerned that we're doing so without all the appropriate information that may or may not be critical to send forward to the board in terms of the things that were discussed and brought to the table. Because they're not in the recommendation currently. There are no discussions about limits, there are no discussions about how it affects the county tax. To be honest, you know, these LCAs are in the west side of the county, and other parts of the county and the districts don't have these. All the other county residents that pay taxes don't have these rates, don't have these opportunities to get an LCA. They don't have 160 acres. So to some degree, there could be discussion about this as opposed to compared to the rest of the county as well. So these discussions are not going on at this level, and I just want to make sure that my thoughts and comments got into the record as we move this thing forward. And I don't know how we would necessarily put that in the recommendation to the board.
Well, my suggestion, Commissioner Harris, would be that we actually request and direct staff to present to us at a future date, when possible, I hesitate to use the word workshop, but an informational presentation on the LCA process in Mariposa County with the information that Commissioner Harris is requesting particularly. I think it would be interesting for all of us, and I think that, you know, not only could I certainly use a refresher, but it would be very, very valuable information for the entire body. So that would be direction that I would certainly give to staff.
Let me check my notes real quick.
Commissioner Harder, your mic, please.
I think that's a good suggestion. I like that idea.
Well, that's why I asked you to turn on your mic.
I had asked the planning director if the county was required to approve contracts just because they meet all the conditions of the Act and the county policy. And the response was that there's certainly an implication that the county has accepted the process, that the county has accepted and processed an applicant paid for application, and if the application meets all the requirements of the county's adopted policy, that the county would take favorable action on the application. I interpret that to mean, no, they're not required, obviously, just because it meets all the requirements. And I don't know how the Board of Supervisors would not approve, given the information I just requested, and have it forward in front of them as they go through and discuss these topics, whether or not they have discussed it previously about a moratorium on the LCAs, or some other suspension, or some other information that you provided. I don't know. So it's the reason I asked those questions, maybe in small way to help the Board of Supervisors further this discussion. Because as a resident of District 4, it's a concern of mine. Where does this go? I mean, how many acres in the county are available for LCA? You know, you say, how many, see, we got maybe a couple hundred thousand acres or so currently in LCA. I'm sure there's a few more hundred thousand acres in Arapahoe County that have that potential as well. Where's the limit? Where's the endpoint for that? So I'll leave it at that.
No, I really appreciate that, and I do think that all of your questions need answers. We're going a little far afield from the immediate project at hand.
Yes.
And I would like to return to that, but I would say that if we had a presentation by staff about the appropriate time, then I think that would be a great thing to do. And would that help?
It'd be good information to have on hand. And at some point down the road, maybe the Board of Supervisors would ask us to include that in our, you know, to have that information available to us in the application packets as the technical information from the planning department for new LCAs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. That would be helpful to me. At least I could respond to the public if I were to ask, you know, how do you approve LCAs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just kind of look at it and meet the conditions and we approve it. If I was asking that question of one of us, I wouldn't be happy with that answer. Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Becker has a question, comment.
I think you have to include the economic advantage that it gives the ag industry. You have to include the economic impact, the cattle industry, and the feed that they buy, the taxes that they pay, what that does to the economy, too, to help offset the tax loss. So I think you can't look at it as just a property tax loss as the jobs it produces in the county. I think you have to look at the whole picture, not just one aspect.
I agree. Whole picture.
It does unearth a massive kettle of fish,
yeah,
which is not completely relevant at this moment. So that's why I would like to bring it right back to this project. So if you have any further questions for Eileen at this time, this would be your time to ask her. Very well, then I will now open this up for public comments. If there are any members of the public present who would like to comment on this project, please feel free to step forward and have your say. Oh, come on, Supervisor Carrier, don't you have anything to tell us? In that case, and I know, Russ, you've always got something to say, but no, I'm sure not on this. So, in that case, I will close the public comment. And gentlemen, it is time for deliberation. I would ask that we do keep it relevant to the project at hand.
I've got another question that's relevant to the project.
Sure.
I noted in the department's package that we haven't received response from the Department of Conservation. Should we expect one? Do we get one from them or
not? Not typically.
And have we gotten one in the past?
I haven't seen one in several years.
Why do we keep sending it? Just because it's required.
They're kind of the oversight agency, state agency for the Women's National Program. So as a courtesy, we send it to them.
And on virtually, in nearly all projects within the county, on even simple land divisions or property line adjustments, comments will go out, or requests for comment will go out to a great many agencies. And in most cases, the responses are very, very limited, if that. It is done as a courtesy, it's done as simply a matter of trying to cover as many bases as possible. So that's not surprising. Would it help? Al, could you very simply, tell us what the process is following this. Supposing, for example, that we do approve this project, what happens next?
We would take it, we would schedule a public hearing before the board and present planning commission recommendations to the board. If the board's action is favorable, we'll prepare draft contracts to send to the applicant to obtain all necessary notary signatures.
And it becomes a legal contract. Okay, gentlemen, further deliberation.
I think I got more questions asked.
Great. In that case, at this point, I think we might be willing to play around with a motion. Anyone?
Okay, I'll make the motion.
Oh, Commissioner Harris.
Yeah. I'm recommending that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution recommending the Board of Supervisors to adopt a resolution finding that the project is exempt from environmental review and approving land conservation contract application number 2013-115 and number 2013-116 with findings and conditions.
Wow, sounds like that covers all the bases beautifully.
I've learned to read what they tell me to write.
Do we have a second to that motion? Don't fight over it.
I'll second.
Commissioner Becker seconds the motion. Motion by Commissioner Harris, second by Commissioner Becker. If there is no further discussion, I will call the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No opposed, no abstentions. The motion passes 4-0. We will now move right along. That we had previously explained the fact that our item B, the amended conditions for Cathy's Valley Baptist Church, has been requested by the applicant to be continued to date and time certain October 18th at 9 a.m. And we do need a motion, correct? Mm-hmm. To make that official. So, gentlemen, if we have a motion from anyone out there. Commissioner Harder.
I so move that we adopt this consideration for our next meeting on October 18th.
At 9 a.m.?
9 a.m.
A second?
I'll second the motion.
A second by Commissioner Harris. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Abstains? None. It is continued to date and time certain.
Excuse me, I forgot. I just want to make note of the member of the public that spoke on this topic before and make sure that those comments get incorporated into our minutes directly for the 18th meeting on this topic.
They will be, I believe, but I would, that's why I recommend.
Our mics weren't working at the time, so I'm bringing this up.
Right, but they were taken down okay. By our secretary.
All right, thank you.
And that moves us to our information items. Then this, I will turn it over to Brian Fouch. Brian, I have been enjoying my small role in this process, and I think it's going to be quite valuable for everyone to hear about the process, not only for the Mid-Pines Community Plan, but simply how it works for all of the plan updating. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. So we're going to point out the Mid-Pines Community Plan preparation process, which we started in February 2013. It's been ongoing since then, and we're going to point out we can begin to explain to the Board of Supervisors and Planning Commission regarding our progress. In putting together that plan. In particular, we have a program that we have developed and been adopted by the Mid-Pines Plan Advisory Committee regarding preparation of the plan, and that's included in your staff report as an attachment. It's entitled Mid-Pines Community Planning Area Program. On page 4 of that program, you'll see a processing steps and schedule list, 7 or 8, 9 steps, I guess, there, that describe what we're doing and when we're doing it. We're a little bit behind schedule at this point. We have just completed programming for our community participation program, and we're launching that program this week. You'll notice that there is a blog site that you can access. Postcards have been sent out advertising two community forums to be held in late October and early November. So everybody's eagerly anticipating the results of those forums. Our intention is to use the information developed on the blog site through the kind of correspondence that we have and through those forums to prepare a comprehensive report regarding issues that the community feels are important and options for dealing with those issues and concerns. That issues and options report will be discussed and options selected for by the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors. In the general plan, if you look on in the program, there is a review of the general foundation for doing these community plans in Chapter 5. And Chapter 5 policies give great weight to the involvement of the Planning Advisory Committee and all the other advisory committees with respect to preparing these plans. So the Mid-Pines Planning Advisory Committee, along with all the others, is charged with preparing these plans for review, for recommendation to the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors. They will prepare the plan, a draft plan, and then we will do a CEQA document evaluating the environmental impacts of that plan for the Planning Commission and Board. And we won't see that draft plan altogether until after the Mid-Pines Planning Advisory Committee is finished preparing it. So that is a commitment in the general plan to the importance of recognition in the general plan of the importance of having the community involved in the planning process to the greatest extent possible. So that's the basis upon which we are prepared this program. And we are aware that it's possible that staff could just simply write the plan and prepare the issues and options report, do a public engagement process and run that process, involve the Mid-Pines Planning Advisory Committee in that review of that process, and then do the report to the board and the Planning Commission. However, our understanding is that that's not the way that general planning would prefer that process to be carried out. So the Mid-Pines Planning Advisory Committee has developed a community engagement program. They have an ad hoc committee that's been working for the past several months to put that together to prepare the questions that you'll see on the blog site when you access the blog site, and also the content, the theme of the two community forums that will be both held. And they've been they're responsible for the content of all that material. So we'd like to say that the information already prepared and presented to the community on the blog site and the theme, idea for the forums in terms of the subject matter we covered there, is really content rich. That is, it is itself a representation of the issues that the community believes are important and to be considered in the planning process as we go forward. So I think we're doing the planning for the FICO committee is doing a great job in setting the stage for preparation of a plan that has a good solid foundation of the community with respect to important issues and concerns and future policies and programs. So we're very pleased with at this point with how the process is working. And we think that the forums is going will produce a good solid foundation for putting for preparing content in the plan. The point that we are right now reporting to the Board of Supervisors regarding our progress, and so this report is not an action item today. But if you have any questions about the process, I'd be happy to answer any that you have.
Well, I just have a comment or two, and Brian, I would appreciate very much the fact that the Mid-Pines PAC meetings have been nicely attended at times by members of the public who are not on the PAC, and they've had some very valuable input so far as well. And I think that what I have been seeing with this plan as it moves forward has been exemplary, particularly in terms of public engagement, which I think is absolutely critical. And I just saw this morning the ad in the Sierra Sun-Times, And I believe there is one that has been submitted or paid for in the Gazette as well, is that?
That's correct.
And my concern, and I really do hope that members of the Mid-Pines community out there in its entirety come in and have their say, because this plan should reflect the concerns and wishes of Mid-Pines itself. And so far I'm seeing that, and I'm very pleased, and I just wanted to commend you on your role in making that happen.
Yeah, we hope that people will log on to the blog site, comment there. The blog site is intended to work hand in hand with the forums. It's supposed to be, information on the blog, comments made there. Could be used during the forums, add information during the forums, could provoke further comment on the blog site. So it's supposed to be integrated. Programs are supposed to be integrated.
And Commissioner Harder.
Brian, what's the estimated completion of the draft plan by the approximately?
We have a 2-year climate program being set up, and if you'll notice on page 4 of the program, selection of the preferred plan by the advisory committee is scheduled for March of 2014. And adoption of the plan would occur in late 2014, November. Right now we are a couple months behind because of the level of review and involvement of the committee and putting together the community engagement program. Probably board supervisors hearing and adoption would occur during probably after the first 2 years of 2015.
If you look on our packet page 44 at the bottom of page 5, processing steps and schedule, there are 9 bulleted points for, and this I'm directing this to the commission. It gives you a sense of the process, as Brian has mentioned, as planned. Unfortunately, it is a little bit behind, but it gives you a really nice sense of the timeline, the intended timeline.
So we have that, just so that the commission understands, we do have a draft Mid-Pines plan boundary. It's a study area at this point. It's pretty expansive. One of the jobs of the Mid-Pines Plan Advisory Committee is to determine the boundary of the specific plan. They haven't put out a prospective boundary at this point, but we expect is that through the community involvement process and through the consideration of issues and options, that boundary will emerge from that process.
And gentlemen, if you have any questions whatsoever, because these plans could be coming to an area near you. They are scheduled for the entire county over the period of many, 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 many years in all the districts. And so this is not something, of course, that is just going to be affecting Mid-Pines. You know, this commission has gone through, or at least in my experience, went through Wawona and through Caffey's Valley. And they were, without saying anything negative whatsoever, comparatively two opposite extremes, in my view, of the process. And if you have any questions, because this could be affecting you.
There are 17 planets.
Roughly, what's next after Mid-Pines, when Mid-Pines is completed?
I think Alpers Out is next at Lake Domino. I think the general plan has some priority areas that have been established.
Gentlemen, any questions for Brian?
Well done.
Brian, thank you so much. And it'll be fun for me to continue to be immediately exposed to it, and hopefully we'll get updating.
I hope that everybody can come to the forums. It should be pretty fun.
Yeah, the forums are November 2nd and 9th.
October 26th and November 2nd. And the Thomas Community Center.
Thank you so much. And that concludes soon as I can find my way back to our agenda. That does conclude the immediate information items. Al, do we have any further updated information items from staff?
Just a couple. As you're aware, next planning commission, October 18th, we'll have Kathy Valley Baptist Church and the new mission project. Advisory committee meetings coming up. We have historic sites on Monday, October 21st at 10 a.m. The mid-planning community forum, we have one scheduled on October 26th at 9 a.m. and another one scheduled November 2nd at 9 a.m. And the next meeting for the Midlands Community Advisory Committee would be November 5th at 6 p.m. Agriculture Advisory Committee, there's a meeting next Thursday, October 10th at 8:30. We'll go over a little bit over the LCA compliance project and a building permit review. Fish Camp Midlands Advisory Committee, October 19th at 9:30 a.m. And El Hotel has one October 8th at 7 p.m. Coming up to the board, October 15th, they're going to be considering a possible initiation of a marijuana cultivation ordinance, which will place stricter limits on how that can be done. September 1st, we've been hiring an associate planner for SOAR. With this hiring, we've also commenced a review of the Williamson Act biannual report. There have been reviews and actually letters sent notifying owners that we need additional information there's some questions on the report, so that'll be moved through the process here soon, and we will get some of the board to do those numbers over properties that are not compliant. We've also announced, or the announcement in the Gazette, that we've commenced the sign compliance program. No significant progress yet to report, but we are starting to look at how that's going to occur. Historic sites have also commenced the process to update our historic resources inventory. We have some county staff assisting with that, and some of the commission members, and we'll go out and try to update the list that we have for historic sites. Also, there is a draft available online for the updates to the policies and procedures for LAPCO. And that draft will probably be considered in late November or early December. An interesting thing about that, we now have maps of all the districts in the county. Great information if you have a chance to look at it. Sierra Business Council has commenced work on the greenhouse gas grant program, trying to develop some baseline data for future use in energy efficiency plan work. So probably help us a lot in terms of project review and the greenhouse gas issue. The planning commission vacancy was announced. The district supervisor reviewed the application for the candidates. So we'll wait to see what the recommendation is for that. And also our GIS staff have been working on the DRI grant-funded road map book project. And it'll be available to use for all emergency response personnel, and it'll give location of all the main roads in the county, show all the parcels, show all the assigned addresses. So it'll be a really good comprehensive map of the county, which hopefully assists in terms of the emergency response personnel equipment to what we needed. That's all I have. Any questions?
Gentlemen, questions for Al. Commissioner Harder.
It's not pertaining to what Al has been through, but the general question about that lot line adjustments and whether, who determines whether a lot is buildable? Is that the buyer should declare this, or does the seller need to, the seller inform the buyer beware, and what the planning had to do with determining whether a lot was built.
In terms of the lot line adjustment process?
Well, there was one in Fish Camp just recently, and knowing in, about the property, I don't see that either parcel is technically buildable, so I'm not sure exactly what the lot line adjustment achieved.
Well, we can, if there's a specific project, we can go downstairs and we'll talk about it. I mean, we review their certain findings we have to make to be able to approve a lot line adjustment finding, a lot line adjustment project, and if we meet those findings, the typical recommendation would be for approval.
Well, just recently, in the last year, a lot was sold that was determined after by the buyer that they could not build on the lot. And technically, I'm not sure, I've always thought that it's just the primary issue is you can build on a lot as long as you have some means of handling your waste treatment. And in this case, they had no land for that. So I don't know whether, are there alternatives to where you can't have leach fields, engineered system, or some other way of utilizing that lot when you don't have a community waste treatment facility.
We'll probably have to talk to the health department about that and see what other options are available. But if, again, if you want to do the full process,
and that would have to certainly go through building department. That's a fascinating question, and one that we don't often run into simply because of the fact that so much of Mariposa County real estate is buildable. But I do know of certain instances in which it's very questionable, and there could be some of those in Fish Camp and also Yosemite West.
I know we have some acreage, probably lots that are less than a quarter of an acre. And there's just no way under the modern facilities or septic system they could use that. As long as the buyer property, knowing he's buying it just as open land, that's fine.
And I do think that is the case. It's pretty much a case of caveat emptor. You have to know going in this county that the property that you're interested in buying is going to be buildable or not. Any other questions?
A question about the LCAs. Excuse me, is there any prior inspection done in the Google Earth or anything to see that they comply before they go into contract?
Yeah, typically we do require that they submit some information, evidence that they've been a commercial acquisition 3 years prior to submitting the application. And that's one of the findings that has to be made in terms of being able to recommend approval, that they actually have been in a commercial ag production for the past 3 years.
But does anybody go out and see if there's rentals or anything on the property that they're already in violation before they apply? Or
We do look at the aerial. Sometimes we do conduct site visits. We rely on the information that they submit with their report in terms of what they're reporting for their commercial ag production.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, come on, we got Al to pillory. Are we going to let him off that easily? I guess we are, Al. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the update. Thank you for keeping the commission informed. And if there are no further announcements or anything else we have to discuss, I hereby adjourn today's meeting.